The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 113 of Wealth Talk. My name's Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again, as always. And another coach.
Yes.
Dispensing some very passionate wisdom today.
Yeah, really enjoyed the conversation with Carol Robinson, who, as you rightly say, is one of our wealth coaches inside the Wealth Builders Academy. And having just a really open and honest conversation today, because we know that the wealth building journey has to follow a series of steps. And of course, we've got the recurring revenue roadmap, which we guide our members through. But the first step is always connecting with a strong reason why. And we often refer to this, Kevin, and we know that you have a powerful why, but that's not always the case for everybody. And, I think it was important that we address this today, because I know for myself as well, there was something inside of me. I was driven. I knew I wanted more, but I always struggle to really put my finger on what it was.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. And I guess, there are two issues here, right? You don't need necessarily to be blown away by a very powerful reason why. In my case, fueled by tragedy, we're not saying that. We're saying that in general terms, you would either want to move away from something or move towards something. Now, I had a very powerful move towards, and you might just have had a powerful move away. I wanted to, and I think you probably did, Chris, subliminally, if you think about the book you wrote, Sack Your Boss, that's pretty emotive. Escape the Rat Race, the community you founded and built, that's, again, about getting away from the word escape. So I think you can find it in a moving towards or a moving away, and it doesn't really matter where you find it as long as you've got that first ROI, the reason to overcome inertia. Because doing what you're doing, thinking what you're thinking, and connecting with who you're is in your life now is probably, if it's not serving you now, it's not going to continue to serve you at all. So it's always better to be moving, because the act of movement, as Carol so aptly describes today, sends you in new directions and opens new doors, I think is the terms that she uses.
Yeah, absolutely. And, last week we had Ian Halfpenny, another of our wealth coaches, on Wealth Talk. And Ian talked about why it's hard to build wealth by yourself, and we obviously have the terminology of the 3 Ds, although it's now the 4 Ds. And one of those is DIY, and, doing it all by yourself. We know that's a long, slow process when it comes to building wealth.
Yeah, and isolating. It's not just long. It's not just slow. You don't always follow the right direction at the beginning. You get knocked off course. Life knocks us off course. Again, we'll hear that from Carol. And it's difficult to get back on course if you don't have some principles and some people to help you and hold you accountable. And I think there's this whole area of recognizing that life, will blow us off course, but you need somebody else to help you reset your sail. And I think that's important.
So just before we get into the conversation today with Carol, I just want to say a warm welcome to all of the new members who have joined the Wealth Builders Academy since we launched back on the 3rd of June. And it's great to see everyone sharing their declarations inside the private Facebook community. So a warm welcome to you all. And don't forget, we still have until the 30th of June to join the Academy and benefit from the £500 discount, the joining discount that we're offering at the moment. So if you want to check out, find out more about what we do, then head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy launch. And we would love to see you join us. And, don't forget, we've also got a free community. So, we cover all bases, Kevin.
We keep saying this, don't we? We obsess about the idea of helping people to become financially independent. And we really do not mind if people want to consume our free materials to take their time to get to know us and to take their time to find that reason to overcome inertia and take their time to get their ducks in order, if that's the right language, to then decide, when am I ready to take action? And as long as we're there providing some good general guidance, there's obviously a limit to what we can do for free, then we'll do that. And then if you're ready, you know, come and join us and check out what other people are doing. And I think I said on the webinar itself, it took me 15 years as a DIYer to become completely financially independent. And now we can teach people in a third of that time. And that's the power of the combination of, you know, a well-trodden path, people to keep you on track, and others who've been there and done it before you to give you distinctions to help accelerate you. So to me, it's faster, safer, and more enjoyable. And so, you know, when you're ready, come and join us. And until then, just stay connected to us.
Okay, so it's time to hear Carol Robinson's story and our conversation about, you know, what if you can't find your why? Carol, welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Hi, Christian. It's great to be here, actually. I'm such a big fan of Wealth Talk. I listen every single week and I'm always getting some kind of nugget from it, whether it's a technical nugget or whether it's some kind of softer skill nugget. So I'm hoping I can do a little something for the listeners today as well. So thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. And I've no doubt you can do something for our listeners because you every week are doing many, many wonderful things for our members, Carol, because you're not only a successful entrepreneur yourself, but you're now one of our wealth coaches. In fact, you know, one of our founder wealth coaches back when we started in 2020 last year, wasn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
So, Carol, we are going to cover a few things today, but really just keep it, you know, really conversational. And we're looking at a topic that, you know, we felt was important just to discuss and kind of bring to the forefront. And, you know, I guess it's a bit more personal. It's tied into step one of our roadmap, which is, you know, start with the end in mind. And we always hear how important it is to really connect with your reason why. And we're going to dive into that a bit because we know that that's not so easy for everybody. And I think we've both got stories of how, you know, we weren't necessarily able to really pinpoint our why, but that doesn't stop you from taking action and taking that first step. So we're going to dive into that as a conversation today. But I think probably before we do that, Cara, it'd be really good to just hear a bit more about your background so our listeners understand, you know, what pillars and strategies you've used and how you first connected with Wealth Builders as well.
Yes. Okay, great. So it was actually back in 2016, in the days of proper networking, face-to-face networking. And I used to drive from Southampton all the way up to Knightsbridge for a particular networking event, PPN. It was very good. It had always had some great speakers there and some great networking. But one of my purposes of going there was because in Knightsbridge, I thought there'd be quite a few people with some money. I was looking for some investors, you know, Knightsbridge being one of those nicer parts of London. And what actually turned out was that I met Kevin and I saw his badge on his lapel, you know, with the pillars and the roof. And it really caught my eye. And we had a good chat. And I realized that I wasn't going to leave that evening with an investor in tow. It was actually my own money. I didn't realize I was sitting on a huge pot of cash from all my time in the corporate world. So I kept close to Kevin. He helped me with my SAS, my small self-administered scheme, to release my pension to help grow my property portfolio. And as part of that, Kevin got to know me and he realized I was already on the speaking circuit for another and training as well for another property education company. So he asked me to join part of the team, his team, to do some of the speaking gigs around SASs. And as part of that, we kept in touch. I was part of the gang, Kevin's gang. And actually, Kevin, Christian, you might not remember, but I was with Kevin doing some business meetings and we were in the Shard and he had a meeting with you. And I do believe that was probably the first steps and thoughts around the 7-step program. And I think we connected there as well, didn't we? We kept in touch. And then you ultimately asked me to join you as part of one of the coaches. So it's funny how connections and opportunities and circumstances culminate into something quite special.
I remember it very well. I think I actually had the first drafts of my book cover, Sack Your Boss. I was showing you and asking for your feedback, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, Carol, that obviously, as you said, led to, you know, building a strong relationship with Wealth Builders. But, you know, how did you, you mentioned the corporate world there, but, you know, at what point did you decide that enough was enough and that you wanted to branch out and obviously start building wealth on your own terms?
It's interesting because as a corporate employee, I was in finance and banking. I'm a chartered accountant. I've always been a career girl and I love the corporate world. It took me around the world. I had global teams. I had amazing opportunities and experiences. And however, I kind of set myself a target to be a millionaire in asset wealth by the time I was 40. And I started collecting properties. But there was this other angle to me, which was I knew I was living overseas, but I wanted to be able to come back to England at some point. And I knew the property market was extremely buoyant and hot. So I started investing while I was overseas. That was one, my route to wealth. And also it was going to enable me to have that beautiful house when I decided to come back to the UK and not be locked out of the market. So, you know, it really wasn't a proper wealth building strategy in any way, shape or form. And it's probably quite interesting because, you know, I'm a finance person. It should come, you know, really naturally to me. But I think because I'd spent my life being honed by the corporate world, I just thought my whole life I was going to be a foot soldier for somebody else. Now, so for me, what happened is that I did have a catalyst that happened, and I know we'll talk about that, but that really made me realise I needed to write a new chapter of my life. And I was able to do it because of what I'd been picking up with properties along the way. And interestingly, I had a number of subsequent catalysts that then took me in different directions again and again. So I'm sure we'll get into those. But I think once, you know, the catalyst had happened, I multiplied my asset income three times over in a period of 12 to 18 months. So, you know, certain things do happen to people which make you question what you're doing and why you're doing it and if it's the right thing for you, and also showing you other opportunities that are out there in the world that you may not have seen because you were so tunnel visioned in what you were doing, you know, just stopping to put your head above the parapet sometimes.
Yeah. And I think there's a few different aspects of what we teach at Wealth Builders that we're kind of touching on here, you know, having the importance of having a clear plan. I mean, we speak to people every week and we see what holds people back, and we see people who have been drifting for years. And often it's because they don't have a clear plan. They don't really know where to start. The other thing is really obviously the support network around you. You know, who have you got to encourage you, and who else do you know that's on this path that you can follow and ask questions and learn from? But the third aspect is really down to us as individuals, like how driven, how motivated, how important is this to us? And that kind of ties into, you know, well, what's driving you? What's motivating you? And this is obviously what we're discussing today really is, you know, well, you know, why are you doing this? And I think what we're kind of discussing here is that sometimes you might have different whys, you might have multiple whys, or your reason might change as you progress through life. And, you know, it sounded like there, Carol, when you said you had, you know, you did have a couple of whys and it was tied to, you know, being a millionaire by a certain age and having a nice house. So, you know, you could say, well, that perhaps was part of the why in the early stages for you. But you mentioned there, obviously, that there was a strong catalyst and there was a life event. So would you mind perhaps kind of sharing that for us?
Yeah, sure. I think these things are important to share because, you know, I think whilst I've got all of the pillars sorted out, it hasn't been done in, you know, a systematic way, really. And I would say, you know, my journey to wealth has been very much like snakes and ladders. And I think that really is a representative of life, really. I think opportunities come your way, and I think massive challenges come your way as well. And it's just how you maneuver around all of those. Now, for me, what actually happened was that, yes, I was a career girl and I wanted to have that career and everything in place before starting, you know, a family. And I did leave it late, and it was very hard to get pregnant. But finally, I had a gift, and that's Harvey. But during the pregnancy, we found out that Harvey was going to be a Down syndrome baby, child, adult. And that changed absolutely everything for me. It was suddenly there was no interest in the corporate world. It was going to be everything about Harvey, because he wouldn't be able to look after himself. He would be disabled in some way, shape, or form. And a massive why came forward for myself and Camille. And it was about, how do we make sure that he is going to be safe and cared for once we were gone? We had to build something really big for him, not only on a monetary wise, but we were very, very interested in taking our love for property and creating, it's supported living that people talk around now, but a community where he could be with other people. He wouldn't be institutionalized. He would have an amazing life, and he would have the money to do that. So we believed in education, always have. So we got ourselves further educated on property, and we started, you know, while I was pregnant, building up the knowledge, seeing how we could take our property to the next level. But unfortunately, at 28 weeks, Harvey got into trouble and developed some complexities associated with Down syndrome. And I was rushed into hospital, and we had a really life or death decision to make for Harvey. And we chose to have an emergency C-section, right? And well, it was planned, but we had to literally have it in the next few hours. And we went through an intensive care journey with Harvey for a month, and all the ups and downs of all of that. And we actually lost Harvey on his 1 month birthday after, you know, him going through all of those problems and prodding and poking and just a terrible situation. And at that moment, the whole reason why just disappeared, just overnight. And then on top of that, they'd messed up my C-section, and I was equally rushed into hospital. You hear about these things. And on Christmas Eve in 2014, I was found in my mother's bathroom, collapsed. And so, you know, an ambulance had to come. And again, I was on the verge of going from this planet. It'd been so long since they'd discovered what was wrong. And so I was going through a recovery phase. I'd left the corporate world. I'd left that credibility, the knowledge, the everything I had confidence with, the corporate world that had gone. I'd lost my son, which was just more devastating than words can say. And I was healing myself, and I could have easily just crawled under the duvet, not wanting to come out and lick my wounds. But I didn't. I had to think about why Harvey had come along. There must have been a reason that he'd gone through all of that. And I came to the conclusion that he came along to help both Camille and I think about what we were doing, and to give us opportunities to think about things in a different way. And I had to latch on to that in order for me to take action. And I took massive action, because even though my original why wasn't there, I made one that was still wrapped up with Harvey. And I named some of my companies after him. You know, I know that's very important with a wealth builder when you think about some of the legacies. And I decided everything that I was going to do was going to be in his name, because he gave me a gift for me to change my life and change my life for the better. So that was the big catalyst. And that's the one that just made me you know, I went from doing the buy-to-lets to HMOs to taking derelict houses, making them beautiful, you know, taking houses, turning them into flats. I did all kinds of strategies just to propel us forward, because I was driven by an emotion, you know, and I think sometimes those emotions can bring you to tears if they're strong enough. An emotion can paralyze you, or an emotion can drive you forward. And I chose the one to drive me forward. And as a result of that, I just made sure I knew doing things in Harvey's name was the thing that got me back started. But I know it's not my real purpose. I know it's not my real why. And I didn't know really what it is. And so I thought, by taking the action, exploring things, connecting with people, trying different strategies, seeing what I liked, what I didn't like, what doors would it open, what insights would I get, that I would ultimately come to what my purpose is on this life. Because I questioned all of that. And why wouldn't you when things like that happen to you? And, you know, I can say that by being open for business and opportunities, you know, my life has been propelled. And in return, I have an amazing life where, yes, I'm a bit of a workaholic because, you know, it avoids me facing some emotions. But in return for that, I'm able to be very fulfilled. I love what I do with property. I love the fact that I coach and I mentor people. It's like an injection of energy every time we speak to people. You know, I have a business as well, which is a, it's a construction business and it's a development business where I've taken the stability of everything I've done before with the property portfolio, the investments, the pensions. And that's my foundation. It's my safety net, which has allowed me to jump into the things that are really exciting. And that's building houses for people, taking, you know, mud and turning it into something, somebody's beautiful home. And by having our own construction company along with the development, we keep everything in-house. And I've managed to do that in a way that I believe is going to help women, because I'd like to inspire women that they can do things maybe that's usually predominantly male, construction businesses, dealing with burly builders, some of the challenges that you have with that. And I think that is helping me see what my purpose is. It's building beautiful homes for people, inspiring people along the journey, and looping back to my supported holidays, actually. Not necessarily living, but holidays. I'm still very much involved with the Down syndrome community. In fact, I made a connection, and a lady that needed some help has a Down syndrome child, and I've embraced their family, and she now is my bookkeeper. Didn't know anything about accounting or bookkeeping before. I've trained her up. And our next stage in our journey together is that we both want to provide holiday homes for people with disabilities. And it's something she's passionate about because of her son. It's something that I'm passionate about. And it's kind of brought it in a nice circle. So I know I've been thrown a lot out there, but I've tried to show you that I didn't really know. My whole world fell apart. But I just got up out of the duvet and I dug in deep to some emotions and I just started taking action. And then door after door after door is opened. And I've been open to that. And I've not really questioned too much. I've had faith that it's taking me in the direction that's right for Carol. So, Christian, I don't know if that gives you quite a lot of food for thought there.
Yeah, it does. Thank you for sharing. And I think it helps to show that your why can evolve just by doing. And you've just got to take that first step or that next step. And you obviously had a life-changing event there, Carol. And as you said yourself, you can choose which way to go with that. You can either retract and do nothing, or you can move forwards. And that's obviously what you did. And even someone at the beginning of the journey, Carol, because you've mentored and coached hundreds of people who are building their wealth, and certainly within property as well. Even without a strong life-changing event like that, what would be your advice to someone who still doesn't feel like they have that strong reason inside them, and it's frustrating them, and it's perhaps, you know, holding them back from doing anything? Would you say that there's always something that someone can grab onto? Like, even if the why is not powerful and it's not a huge event that's happened in their life, there must be something. And just take that and don't worry about too far into the future, because as you've just shared, you didn't know what was ahead, and you probably still don't know what's ahead in the next 10, 20 years, right? So that's not a reason to get too hung up. It's just grab onto something and take the next step.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think, I started writing a book once and I never finished it, and I wouldn't write that again. But I actually did a lot of research with people about writing goals and plans and whys. And it was quite amazing that relatively successful people, that they had done them. But what they'd realised was that it's really hard to plan too far into the future, but to have a seed in here in your brain, because, you know, I've mentioned snakes and ladders. I think that's what life's about. And, it happens to us. And, you know, if you plan too much and beat yourself up because you can't fulfill it in that way, I think what it's more about is having something that you can latch onto. And we can talk about some ideas around that, but something that is going to get you started. Know broadly where you think you're going, but go with the ebbs and flows of life, because you could get far more opportunities that way by being open for business in your own mind. But also, you're not going to beat yourself up by not achieving something as well. And, you know, I just think life is full of opportunities everywhere. It's just whether you choose to see them and grab them. And I think for people that are struggling, you know, just take something small, actually. Maybe it's just a connection, you know, because then that could bounce onto another connection, onto something else. The other thing I'd like to mention is that through my coaching and mentoring, what I do see as well is that people that are very comfortable, they're not feeling a pain point, if that makes sense. They may do some work or they may tinker along, but it's they're a bit too comfortable. And it's people that I see that have got a pain point or their back is up against the wall that they do absolutely phenomenal things. So just taking a lesson out of that. I mean, I don't want anybody to feel pain in any way, but if they can just latch onto something that maybe is just a little bit uncomfortable for them, or just a mindset change that could create an uncomfortable feeling. So, you know, what happens if something does happen and you do lose your money? Or what happens if somebody close to you, you know, does die? What you know, the what ifs can put you in a position where you maybe realise you're not as comfortable that you think you are. And I find that's always a good way for people just to start thinking about things. And the other thing is just digging into an emotion. You know, everybody has something that they don't feel comfortable with in life. And maybe it's just linking into that and understanding why you don't feel very comfortable and using that emotion to drive you forward. So there are lots of tools. And I do think if people are listening to your podcast, there's a reason that people are listening. They do want to change something. they just might not know what it is, why it is, and all the rest of it. So it's just digging in, finding that emotion to propel you forward.
And I think just not doing this on your own. We talk about, you know, the DIYers out there, Carol, but, you know, if you're struggling with your reason why and, you know, not having that sort of strong motivation every day when you wake up that you know exactly what you should be getting up to do, then having a support network around you, having a coach that you can speak to every month is really going to help with that, with the accountability.
Absolutely. I mean, the coaching and mentoring, you know, the growth I see from people that recognize they need a coach, a mentor in their life, you know, the difference of their journey is significant. And yes, it might not be every time you feel you've something to report to that coach or mentor, but actually it's surprising because once you start the conversations, you often uncover something. It could be something technical. It could be something emotional. It could be something that's a softer skill. And again, just the accountability. Often we may just remind them how far they've come because they're so in the detail of their journey and their life and maybe some of the obstacles, you know, particularly over the last year with COVID. I think people forget how far they've actually come. And it's always good to, remind yourself as well. And, you know, I know in my case, I've probably leveraged business partners and professionals as my kind of coach and mentors in a way. And I recognize them for that. And I'm never afraid to ask for their help. And I will tell you this, since partnering up with my business partners with Indome Developments and Indome Construction, things have propelled me into a different sphere. You know, so yes, they're my business partners, but they're also my accountability partners. They're also people that I can phone up and bounce things off because I recognize as part of this joint venture, they bring things to the table that I can never bring to the table or can't at the moment. And they recognize the same about me. And, you know, I think it's, even if you've got a joint venture partnership or somebody in your professional team that you can use to support, I think is also a good start for people. But, you know, formalizing that with a coach and a mentor, you know, I do see a huge difference for people.
Really enjoyed our conversation, Carol, and I hope that everyone listening has, you know, found this helpful as well. If, you know, there isn't that clear vision of the future and what that looks like and how to get there, then that's okay. It will come, and it's not unnormal to be in that position. Just the final thing I'd just like to touch on with you, Carol, is, you know, we heard recently from one of our other coaches, Ian Halfpenny, and he talked about, you know, we set the goals of reaching financial security and then financial independence, our five levels of wealth. And, you know, for Ian saying actually when he hit independence, then had all this time and actually, you know, that could be a challenge for people when they get to that point. You know, they've had this strong why of hitting their financial independence figure and then they get there and they're kind of looking around and going, oh dear, what do I do now? But I think from listening to you, Carol, and talking to you, you know, it's now that next ROI of that return on impact. It's now when you're at that level, you can start to look at the bigger things that are important to you and how you can contribute. And, you know, do you have any final words just for people who perhaps are about to hit the independence level and how they can adapt and move on to abundance from there?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a really good point because I think a lot of people may sit in an education course or whatever it might be, and they're so worn down by their work that they think all they want to do is leave work, and they haven't necessarily planned on what's next and what it looks like because they can't see beyond that. But I often find as well, people through the journey, they suddenly realise actually they love property or these other things as kind of like their hobby, and they like having the knowledge around it. But they turn around and have a new love for their job, and that's okay because they've been through a learning and an education that's given them insight that they wouldn't have had before. So some people do that. Some people, yeah, they just want to, you know, sit and you know, regroup and figure out what it is. Some people know. Some people are on a journey like me that just would never, I could never sit still ever. It's just not going to be me. And I just knew it would just lead me on to other things and new things. And it's having the faith that there's always something there for you. Just be open to what the world and the energies are telling you. I know that sounds a bit spooky and out there, but it's the case, isn't it? And I think, you know, you get to the next step and you do put your head above the parapet and you go, well, what's next? You may do it formally, or it may just naturally happen like it has for me. And I think for me, it's about people that have come into my life and the connections that I've made. And it's being able to pick and choose who you have in your life and then deepen those relationships and expand it with the same type of people. And I think that when you think about wealth building, it's not just about the money. It's wealth is health. Wealth is the connections that you have. It's the hobbies you have. It's a full circle when you think about wealth. And I think when you get to that independence level, you can really start working on all of those other areas. But first things first, you know, once you do look after yourself, it means you can afford to look after everybody else in a much bigger, much more fulfilling way than you ever could have before.
Well, thanks so much for sharing today. Thank you for having this conversation with me. And thanks so much for supporting our members with the fantastic work that you do every week. Really appreciate it.
No problem. It's great to be part of the whole Wealth Builder community. It's very, very rewarding for everybody, I think. So great thing you've set up.
Thanks, Carol. Okay, well, hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation. Lots for us to discuss there, Kevin. Some really, really good points. Before we do that, let's head over to Trustpilot, as we love to do each week, and just say thank you to one of our clients, members who have left a review in the past 7 days. And I'm scrolling through. I can see one here from Daniel. So Daniel's saying, Wealth Builders is the right partner in building your personal and pension wealth. The team at Wealth Builders are focused on providing in-depth education around wealth building and the tools to measure and maintain as well. So they are supportive and also very keen to understand your needs and support the growth of your portfolio.
Okay. Isn't it amazing, isn't it, how the different sort of styles of language people use? You know, quite understated and very nicely said by Daniel there. Whereas, you know, others would, you know, be much more effusive or they'd pick out something very specific. So nicely said, sir.
Yes, thank you, Daniel. And okay, where should we start then with this conversation, Kevin? I mean, I think, you know, obviously, you know, Carol was very open there and she shared really the whole journey, right? You know, where she began. She was in the corporate life like so many people are. And, you know, just kind of thinking, well, you know, what else? What else can I do with my life? You know, and trying to push ourselves and achieve something. And that led, obviously, you know, in a path for Carol, which, you know, we can see that your why sometimes starts out as something and then an event can happen. And your why can, you know, can change very quickly. And, you know, that obviously for Carol was a tough time, but she certainly didn't let it stop her. And she actually has now turned that into something very powerful and, you know, inspiring women now and supporting the Down syndrome community by providing holiday homes for people with disabilities. So, you know, something very positive has come from that.
Yeah, but the I think, look, it's really important to say thank you to Carol for her complete humility, right? I mean, it takes a real confident person now to be confident enough to reveal their inner feelings and things about their life that are very personal and tragic, as you heard. And I think for her now, you know, the reason why has emerged, and you should be prepared for that to happen. There's nothing wrong. And you talked about yours at the beginning, Chris. I mean, yours was probably a personal move away from, but now very much you know, very much now inside the wealth builder community, trying to help people become financially independent. And that might not have been necessarily the biggest motivator, but now it surely is. And I think that's important to recognize. And I think when I've heard this parallel before, I don't know if you can recall it, Chris, but she said, I said yes to lots of little things. Remember that?
Yes.
And Joanna Martin, Dr. Joanna Martin said that when she was a GP or I think she was a doctor anyway, and she just wasn't happy with the work and perhaps didn't have a real big calling, but just to move away from that, and then discovered her calling by saying yes to this and then yes to that. And when you say small yeses, you're creating momentum. And when you create momentum, just think about a journey. You know, you can judge, can't you, where how the journey is going to be. Oh, well, you know, all the traffic lights are going to be terrible and, you know, the rain is going to be pouring and you don't set off on the journey. Whereas if you keep saying yes, you're setting off on the journey and you're allowing serendipity and doors to open and people you meet and distinctions you make to shape the way you move in the future. And I think that's important to say that you just have to keep making small steps, baby steps, you know, liken it to when you're a child or if you're a parent, you know they're going to take baby steps. They know if they're riding a bike, you need stabilizers. You know, when you teach them to drive, they need instructions and L plates. And this is the same with wealth. We're not born wealthy. We're born with a natural curiosity and the intelligence to make distinctions as we move, and therefore we must move. And Carol said that very well.
Yeah. And, you know, we're really kind of focusing on step one today in our 9-step recurring revenue roadmap, which is all around mindset, you know, starting with the end in mind, knowing your why, having a catalyst, all of these things. And one of the other elements of step one is wealth dynamics and understanding your own entrepreneurial profile. So we know that for certain profiles, Kevin, saying yes comes, you know, less easy.
Harder, yeah, much harder.
and certainly on the steely side, perhaps, you know, those people who really like to analyze and, you know, they're a little bit more risk averse, it might take, you know, it might be a more difficult process.
Well, that's true. And I probably need to temper what I said, actually, because if I think about wealth dynamics and understand that there are four basic levels of energy from the dynamo, the just kind of driving creativity, to the blaze, which is people energy, to the tempo, which is grounded energy and getting things done, and steel energy, analyzing every one of those would have a different view because they're looking in a different direction, north, south, east, west, whatever. And you're going to see what you see. And if you're analytical, for example, then often I talked about the journey. Somebody won't set off on the journey until they know all the traffic lights are green. Well, that doesn't happen. So they don't set off on the journey. But on the other side, if someone's very creative and very dynamic, they'll say yes to everything. And by saying yes to everything, you don't focus on anything. So it's not wisdom here that's dispensing singularity. It's not one piece of wisdom fits everybody. It always fits different people in different ways, which is why we love wealth building so much. It's such a rich tapestry, isn't it, of opportunity. I often liken it, Chris, to being in a room full of people and saying, you know, go build the house of your dreams, but do it with Lego, you know, and every colored brick, every way people build things will be very different. They'd all build a house in the end, but the way it looks and how it was formed and how long it took them and so on will be very different. And that's really what wealth building is. It's about, you know, choosing the right color combinations and physical combinations. And it takes time and effort. And if you do it by trial and error, it's really, really hard because you can't always see things that are close to you. You know, think about any activity, like I think we're playing golf, aren't we, in a week's time? And it's always easier when somebody else looks at you to see what you're doing wrong, especially you, Chris. It's easier to see than if you're seeing yourself because you're focused and your energy and you're looking very strongly at what you're doing, but you're not really seeing what you're not doing or what you're doing wrong. And that's the benefit of having a coach. It's the benefit of having a community, because people with different wealth dynamics will give you different distinctions. And when you make those distinctions, that's financial intelligence. And in order to be wealthy, you need to increase, enhance, and build your financial intelligence. And this is why we do it this way. We do it this way, Chris, because it works. And that's why we encourage people to find different things they can take from our podcast and then act upon them. And I thank Carol wholeheartedly for, you know, for sharing everything she did. And her wealth dynamic is much more analytical, isn't it, than many others.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe just a final tip on it, because we're, you know, really trying to help people who still just, you know, feel like they haven't got that catalyst perhaps. And, you know, you mentioned about with Escape the Rat Race and me at the beginning, Kevin, and, you know, sometimes people who are not clear on exactly what they do want, perhaps it's a better exercise to list out what you don't want. And whilst you don't really want to focus on the negatives, sometimes thinking about the future and saying, well, I definitely know that I don't want this and I definitely don't want to be here. And we know that with the carrot and stick, most people are actually motivated by the stick more so than the carrot.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast, Chris. You know, most people will either want to move away from something or move towards something. And either way, just let it happen. And you would definitely move away. I was definitely moved towards. And everybody is different. And sometimes you can have a combination of those things. You can move away at the beginning and then move towards at the end. And that's certainly what Carol's done now. And by the way, just to reiterate, you know, I just love what she said about inspiring women to help them, you know, become empowered. And I like the fact that she said dealing with burly builders. It's an odd thing because you don't think about that, do you, when you're, if you're a woman in the property field, as she is, and now with a very, you know, significant and professional property development firm called Indome, you know, she's the female voice in a bunch of guys. But it can't be easy if you're trying to, you know, harness the trades if they're not giving you the same respect. And we know this happens, which is why there's a, you know, it's very becoming more popular now for women to work together in groups, and also for modular construction, you know, where the buildings are fabricated in factories as opposed to having builders bearing their ass on the site, you know, pardon my French. But you know what I mean? It whatever happens, it seems like she's got a really great idea. And of course, any inspiration that helps Down syndrome people and the good cause that she's got there, it's fantastic as well, because she's very passionate about that.
Yeah. So final point, Kevin, just to wrap up. And as Carol said, wealth building is not just about the money. We know that. It's about the journey, the connections. It's about growing as a person. And, you know, just it's important that, of course, we talk about wealth, but wealth can mean more than just money.
No question about that at all. I mean, it's enshrined in the very essence of what is wealth, which is some combination of freedoms. And sometimes the freedoms, you know, we don't need to repeat all seven, but, you know, freedom of location isn't about money. Freedom of purpose is definitely not about money. And freedom of control is definitely not about money. So lots of the freedoms are wrapped up in your own emotional sense of self. And I'm glad that Carol has found a new passion for her, that she can continue a wealth building journey, continue to dispense her wisdom alongside ours inside the wealth builder community. And I hope for those people who are just on the outside listening to Carol, realize how sincere and how genuine and how much integrity there is in this community. So join it in some small way. Just, you know, touch base with us. Let some of this just touch you a little.
So we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thanks for listening. And Kevin, we'll catch up same place, same time next week.
Mm-hmm. And until then, my friend, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.